Today's reading is from Exodus. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Good job, Sam. Way to read that. We threw a bunch of interesting words and names at you today. The Hivites and Perizzites and Termites and all of those different people who lived in the world at that time. But you did a great job. I invite you to take out the outline for the message this morning. We're beginning a new series today on this Sunday after Easter called Impact: God, You, and the Rest of the World. We're going to use this theme for a number of big church celebrations we have at this time of year. Next week is graduate recognition, and it's hard to believe, but just 2 weeks away is Mother's Day, end of May's Memorial Day, and today, confirmation. Did anybody guess the number correctly? We are confirming 48 confirmands today. Anybody guess 48 today? Okay, so our prize is safe, it looks like. A large number of youth are being confirmed all across the morning, or we have already, and the final group in this class today. It's been a great confirmation group. They have worked together for 9 months, studying together, learning, growing closer as a group and a community, and preparing to join the church. That word confirmation is not just a church word. We use the word confirmation a lot in our society. If you pay a bill over the phone, they give you a confirmation number. In case there's any question whether or not you paid, this is a way of saying, "No, my confirmation number says I already paid." If you make a reservation for an airline ticket, if you're like me, I'm an old guy, I don't like using my phone, I like to print out my ticket for a seat. So I go to the airport to the kiosk, and then you'll see at the third from the bottom on the right, confirmation number. When I make my reservation, I've got a confirmation number so I can have my printed ticket to get on the plane. Or when you reserve a hotel, you can make a reservation, but if you want to make sure the room gets held, you have to give them a credit card number for it to what? Be confirmed. I learned this the hard way some years ago. Susan and I went to a conference in Chicago, and we went with another couple. I told the other couple, "I'll make sure we get room reservations at a hotel." So I took care of that. Well, we arrived a day early so that we could go play in downtown Chicago. and we went to Navy Pier and shopping on Michigan Avenue, and we were eating dinner about 7 o'clock, thinking, well, pretty quick now, we're going to need to get on the train and go out to the hotel because it was about an hour away. And I thought, I better call and let them know we're on the way. I did, and she said, I don't see a reservation in your name. And I said, well, you must have made some mistake. I made this reservation months ago. She said, well, what's your confirmation number? I said, well, you didn't give me one. She said, did you confirm with a credit card? I said, I meant to. She said, if you didn't confirm with a credit card, the room automatically is available to anybody after 6 o'clock. We are booked up. We have no rooms. So we spent the next 3 anxious hours on the phone trying to find a hotel that still had 2 rooms available for the night, and we finally did. So keep that in mind whenever you're making a hotel reservation. It's got to be confirmed. Not good enough to say, well, I'm interested in coming. It's not good enough to say, well, I want to reserve something in case I do show up. It's not good enough to say, I want you guys to always be open so that when I need you, I know you'll have a place for me. Unless it's confirmed, you're on your own. For our purposes this morning, it might sound like God is the hotel owner and we're the customer. And if we decide to invest our lives in God, then God will confirm that. Let me propose that the relationship is the other way around. God is the customer and we're the hotel owners. God gives you and me the right to occupy our lives with whatever we choose. We have that right. We can occupy our thoughts any way we want to. Whatever music we want to listen to, whatever television shows we want to watch, we can choose to let anything influence our thinking. We can choose to occupy our energies, our interests, our time, our passion, any way we want to. But God is like a customer who calls, who comes looking for us, and who makes an offer to come and occupy our lives and our hearts. And if we welcome that, God confirms it and pledges that she will show up. Did you notice I called God a she there? Surely you learned in confirmation, if God can be a he, God can be a she, right? I'm just trying to keep you guys awake here for a few minutes, and stick with me this morning. All right. Let's begin with a definition of confirmation. You'll see at the top of your outline a statement that comes right from the United Methodist Church's website about confirmation. Confirmation is the work of the Holy Spirit that empowers a person born through water and the Spirit to live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a mouthful. Confirmation involves us, but it's the work of the Spirit. It reminds us that we're born through water in the Spirit. We need to think about what that means. And confirmation ultimately means we're empowered to live as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, in this series, we're talking about impact. We're going to use stories from the life of Moses to think about what it means to make an impact in the world. And today, I want us to think about Moses' confirmation. We just heard the story read when Moses received his assignment. But his story with God began a lot earlier. So the first observation we can make about Moses' confirmation is that Moses was called before he even knew it. Moses was called before he even knew it. Moses was born in a very dangerous time for his people, the Hebrews. They were slaves in Egypt. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, became fearful that the Hebrews were growing so large that they would be a threat to his authority. He ordered the midwives, the women who help mothers have their babies, that every male Hebrew baby born, they were ordered to kill the baby. But the midwives feared God more than they feared Pharaoh, and they refused to do it. Now, notice something. God protects people through people. God protects people through people. We're going to come back to that point in a moment. So Pharaoh discovers the midwives aren't doing what he told them, and they make up a story. They say that the Hebrew mothers go out and have the babies on their own before they ever know about it. So Pharaoh, not to be dissuaded, issues a national decree. He tells all of the citizens of the nation that whenever they learn about a Hebrew baby born, if they find out that it's a male, they are under orders to take the male child and throw it in the Nile River. This is a bad guy, isn't it? So in that time, Moses was born, and his mother, to protect him, made a basket that could float in the river. And she put Moses in the basket and went to a place in the Nile River, just up the river from where she knew that Pharaoh's adult daughter would come to bathe every day. And she put the basket with their baby in it and sent it down the river. And sure enough, Pharaoh's daughter came out that day. She saw the basket, had the basket brought out of the river, and realized it was a baby. And she adopted the baby as her own child. Notice what it says in the verse in your outline. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." That's where Moses' story with God began, when he was drawn out of the water. The same is true of you. That's where your story with God began. Did you know there was a time when you lived in water? You were like a little fish, except you didn't have gills. You didn't breathe air. You lived in water. Where was that? In your mother's womb. You were encased in water. And then one day, in your warm, comfortable environment, something awful happened. You were born. You were sent out of that comfortable place where you never had to worry about food or drink, and now you've got to breathe on your own. And that was just the beginning. You're going to have to learn a lot for the rest of your life about how to live on your own. You were drawn out of water. Your story with God began before you even knew it. How many of you were baptized as babies? Most of you. How many of you were baptized over here in this place? Any of you? A few of you were. Do you remember that? Do you remember when you were baptized as a baby? Nah, you were too little, weren't you? You didn't remember that, but your parents brought you before the church and presented you, and water was put on your head. Water that symbolized God chooses you. That's what baptism means. Even for those of you who are going to be baptized this morning, you're baptized before you're confirmed, because your confirmation is a response to your baptism. Baptism is God saying, "I drew you out of water. You're mine. I want you to be a part of my family." Your confirmation is your response now to God. It's you saying to God, "And I want to be in your family. I welcome you to occupy my heart." Let's look at another observation in the Moses story. Moses was commissioned to deliver just like he was delivered. Moses was commissioned to deliver just as he was delivered. So let's jump ahead, because the story moves from Moses as a baby to Moses as an adult. He is a prince of Egypt, right? And one day he's out walking around and he sees one of his soldiers, an Egyptian soldier, beating a Hebrew slave. Now that's probably something that happened all the time. But on that day, something inside of Moses snapped. And he started attacking the soldier, beating the slave, and he ended up killing the soldier. Why did he do that? Because Moses was raised by his birth mother. This is a really fun part of the story. When Moses was a baby, taken out of the basket by Pharaoh's daughter, she saw him crying, and she had pity on him. That's an important part of the story. A very important part of the story. When people are willing to share the tears of somebody else, God's going to use them. And God used Pharaoh's daughter. She had compassion. Now, one of her servants, get this, was Moses' own sister. And she said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Do you want me to find a Hebrew mother who will nurse the child and help raise him? And Pharaoh's daughter said, yes, go find somebody. Who do you think Moses' sister went and got? Who do you think she went and found? Her own mother, Moses' mother. Moses was raised by his mother. Why did he attack an Egyptian soldier beating a Hebrew slave? Because he grew up knowing his identity. He grew up knowing who he is. Something snapped because he said, this is my brother, this is my sister, you shouldn't treat her this way. You can have everything under the sun. You can become the prince of a nation. You can have all the money in the world. But if you forget who you are, it won't mean anything. Let me say a word to the moms and the dads. All the moms and dads who are here this morning, I want to encourage you. And I want to thank you for doing all that you've done to have your children in confirmation this year. You've had to give time to make sure they were here on Sundays. You've supported them in other ways. You've participated in this experience. And I want to thank you for that because you've done something much bigger than you probably even realize. You have been part of the forming of their God identity, and that's going to make a difference. Nothing replaces the role of a parent in the spiritual formation of the child. All of the studies bear this out. No matter who the pastor is, no matter who the youth leader is and the Sunday school class teacher, nothing takes the place of a mom and dad in the spiritual formation of a child. And here's the challenge. It doesn't stop today. A lot of parents do a lot of work to get their kids to the point of confirmation so that now it's done. It's just beginning. It's going to get tougher from here. Life is going to get busier. There are going to be sports camps and tournaments every weekend. There's going to be dance and drama to go to. There are going to be school events, and it's going to be so easy on Sunday mornings to go, oh, I'm just too tired to be at church. But the influences on their lives that are going to challenge their identities is going to get more fierce. It's going to get more serious. And the job of a parent in the spiritual formation of a child is going to be that much more important. Now, here's the good news. You don't have decades to worry about it. You've got 5 years. You've only got 5 years. Because 5 years from now, they're going to be back here graduating, just like we're going to recognize graduates next week. And then they're out. Then you don't have to worry about forming them every day. So we're only talking 5 years. But they are important, important 5 years. I want to encourage you. Keep at it. Keep at it because you are shaping them in the most important way, more important than what degrees they get, what jobs they get, how much money they make, will be their knowing who they are. Back to Moses. Moses is now a fugitive because he killed somebody, right? He killed an Egyptian soldier. Pharaoh is now after Moses, so he has to go to a faraway land called Midian. He becomes a shepherd. He gets married. He settles down. Life is easy, isn't it? Until one day Moses saw a burning bush, and he went to the burning bush, and God spoke to him. Look at the verse where God said to Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Can you believe that? Moses finally has some peace in his life, and God says, I'm going to send you right back to where the trouble is because I want to use you to go to Pharaoh and demand that your people be set free. All right, now, if you're Moses, what would be your response? Would you say, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not that brave. I'm not that confident. I'm not that smart. Who listens to me? I'm just an average person. I'm nobody special. That's everything Moses said. Moses even said to God, what if I do this? What if I go to Pharaoh and I actually say that and Pharaoh says, well, tell me the name of this God who sent you. What shall I say? Look at this verse. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites and to Pharaoh. I am has sent me to you. Now, the name of God is one word. I am who I am. It's the word Yahweh. But that name was so holy to the Hebrew people, they weren't to write it down. They were not to even say it. They could only use the consonants in the name. YHWH. God said to Moses, I'm going to give you a confirmation code when you go. You use this confirmation code everywhere you go. YHWH. And it's your confirmation code today. You see, one day Jesus would tell people, I am. I'm the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I'm the resurrection and the life. He would say, I have come from the great I am. That's who I am. Your confirmation is to empower you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The promise to you is the same promise to Moses. I am is going to be with you. God will be with you wherever you go. And God wants to do God's work of giving hope to people, protecting people, helping people through you. How many of you grew up going to the Children's Museum? Anybody? Did you ever go to the exhibit, The Power of Children? The Power of Children Making a Difference? I think it's on the third floor of the Children's Museum. It has stories about different children who made a difference in history, and one of them is a boy from Indiana named Ryan White. He was born in Kokomo, Indiana in 1984. He was born with a rare blood disorder called hemophilia. He had to have infusions every week. When he was your age, confirmation age, he went for one of his weekly infusions and he did not know it. But he got infected with a needle that had HIV in the needle. He got AIDS. When he found out he had AIDS at just 13 years old, the doctor said, we don't think you're going to live more than 6 months. He ended up living 6 years, but still, something to no fault of his own. He only had 6 years to live. He was told that he couldn't go to school anymore because back at that time, people were afraid of AIDS. They thought if you have AIDS, you might get it just by sitting next to somebody. And even worse, the stereotype was the only people who got AIDS were gay men. Can you imagine what other kids at school said about Ryan White? Can you imagine what they actually said to Ryan White? They made life awful for him, but he kept going. He kept fighting. He moved with his family to Cicero, Indiana, and he was welcomed by people. But there was one girl at the school who really helped him. She said, we need to educate people. So he started working for education to educate parents, to educate other kids, and started a national movement that helped people understand AIDS, to begin working so that hospitals would not repeat the same mistake that happened to him. There were bills in Congress passed with his name on it. This kid from Kokomo, Indiana, became world famous by the time he died. What kept him going? What gave him courage? He grew up in a St. Luke's United Methodist Church, St. Luke's in Kokomo. When he was a little boy, his pastor was Ray Probasco. He preached his funeral. I talked to Ray yesterday. He's retired now. He worships here at St. Luke's with us sometimes. Ray said, not many people know this about Ryan White. Here's what kept him going. The first night he found out that he had AIDS, he said that God visited him. And God said to him, Ryan, I know you've gotten some really bad news, but I am going to be with you all the time. Get that? He said, I am. God said, I am going to be with you. And you know what Ryan said? I was okay. I had peace. I could put up with all the things I heard at school. I could put up with the things that were told about me. I could fight for people to understand and do the work that I was doing because I just knew God was with me. God is with you. And God has got important things to do in this world. And all God needs is somebody who says, God, I'll let you occupy my life. I'll let you come right here. And God will confirm that and be with you and use you forever. Gracious God, may your blessing rest upon these students, that they would know that they have been drawn out by you. You have called them by name. You pledge your help and your spirit to them to be with them always. May their confirmation today give them a confidence that you will forevermore be in their company and work through them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.